advantage for Sean Mackey to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
So that was a game that happened, wasn't it? As a Falkirk navy blue juggernaut has slowly but surely come to a disappointing end after a fantastic two seasons and the top six. We just couldn't keep going. So defeat to Hibs last week, defeat to Hearts, defeat to Rangers. We finished the season three defeats, but hey, we're still top six, baby, and what a season it has been. We're here to talk about the Rangers match. We're here to talk about everything else that's going on with Falkirk. I'm John McAnally, this is Falkirk Daft, and this is the Ginger God of Pod, Ross Wayne.
Hello, mate. Yeah, two defeats this week, but we finished the year with our heads held firmly high.
Yeah.
Top six, baby, as you said. And we're in a good place overall, on and off the pitch. And it could and probably will be an exciting summer ahead.
No, absolutely. We'll talk about that just in a minute. But let's first of all talk about Behind the Wall on Saturday. Sorry, Friday night. It was Friday night. God, I'm a day ahead of myself now. But we did Falkirk Daft Live with John McGlynn, Paul Smith, Jim Jeffries and Billy Brown. Thank you so much for everyone that made it along on the night. Slightly disconcerting when you walk out and everyone is wearing a face mask of yourself, your own face. So that was slightly odd. Thank you very much to Miss Alison Oliver for organising that. What was even stranger was when the managers both walked out, one wearing a Ross mask and one wearing a John mask.
Yeah, that was odd.
Who was John? I can't. Was John wearing John me and was Paul wearing you?
I can't recall. Yeah, it was a surreal moment. Shout out to Ali, as you said, and Fee Brown, Kai's mum, I think, was involved heavily.
Fee Brown involved, right? Okay.
Yeah. So shout out to both of them. But it was cool. I hadn't noticed, obviously, when we first got, I don't know if you had noticed someone wearing one, but I was literally out 30 seconds in and I saw someone in a mask and I was like, that's random. And then obviously everyone started putting them on and then the gaffer and Paul came out with them on. So and then as we saw yesterday, Andrew had attached the two masks to the carrot, dangling below the crossbar as well.
Honestly, mental. Absolutely. A very surreal moment. Very surreal. But listen, it was a great night. John and Paul in great form. Couple of exclusives. Let's share them on the podcast because they were showing them on stage and I'm pretty sure everyone who left Behind the Wall will be sharing them on social media as well. So we asked there was rumours about a pre-season tour to Portugal. That is happening from the 27th of June to the 2nd of July.
I think it's still 4th of July, I think.
4th of July, was it? So yeah, that is actually happening with one friendly arranged. He couldn't confirm whether it was closed doors or open doors, but certainly people were straight on his Skyscanner on the night trying to book flights to Albufeira. Because I think was it in Albufeira or just outside?
I think he said 15 minutes from Albufeira.
Right.
So that region, listen, there's, as we know, Peter Dust from Lieutenant Stardust Billy, he lives out that way, so there's already a bairn already out there, and I'm sure he will be joined by hundreds more who fancy a few days in Portugal. It would be kind of cool if there was a game, because obviously it means people can go along.
I mean, I wouldn't go if there wasn't a game. I wouldn't go.
I don't think many would travel if there's no game to go to. No,
but if there is a game, it's already been discussed in the McAnally household. Me and the boy are getting to go in exchange for the girls get to go on a girly weekend. So
very good.
shake hands, let's go on that. And then speaking to a couple of other boys in the pub last night, and they're all like, yeah, let's get a Villa. And let's do Albie Ferrer, Falkirk Daft Live in Albie Ferrer. How
wow,
fancy
can
is
you
that?
Imagine? Yeah,
I'll get Peter Dust along, Billy, to come on and do a couple of tunes. We could maybe have a karaoke night, try and get one of the players to... Oh, why not? Let's do it. So we're waiting for details of that. We also, obviously, we had a bit of a chat about the pitch last week, and we confirmed with John on stage, he's not a fan of the pitch. He's not a fan of the new pitch at all. And obviously, he wants to get to grass as soon as possible. Another thing we talked about on this podcast is zonal marking. And it was very amusing because we had the pleasure of having dinner with Paul and John. And I asked about zonal marking versus man-to-man marking, to which point the gaffer was prepared for it, whipped out a bit of A4 paper with all the stats and started going through it. And then Paul was like, right, well, he was explaining it. So we do a kind of hybrid, and, you know, Aberdeen have lost the most from set pieces and they're man to man. And I was like, right, okay. And they're a lot smarter than I am. I just, you know.
What was interesting was John did say, the vast majority of teams obviously do zonal marking. And in his words, we're just not very good at it.
There you go.
Yeah, and he wants some bigger men, he said.
Yeah. Well, that we talked about recruitment as well, obviously, on the night. And, you know, we've seen a few stories that have emerged today, actually, when we're talking about recruitment. You know, there's rumours of Stephen Kingsley. I can't see that. I know he's out of contract and he's not been renewed at Hearts yet, but with the way he's a starter for Hearts at the moment, so you wonder, will they look for an improvement there? And if so, it'd be great. Just breaking today, and we can confirm this as well, because in hospitality a few weeks ago, we were determined to find out there was a young lad from Ireland in hospitality. We're like, who's that? And I think we talked about it in the podcast. So it turns out it is Paul McGovern, Glenavon winger Paul McGovern. He was in hospitality with Alan Fraser a couple of weeks back. So I think there's a lot of clubs pursuing him. So hopefully we've done enough to convince him. Maybe our chat in the 1876 lounge was enough to convince him that Falkirk's the place for him. But that's been in the papers today. So, we'll see what happens with that. You know, Scott Tanzer's another one.
There's a few rumours, John, and but there'll be some going as well.
Let's talk about the Barney Stewart rumours. West Bromwich Albion been leaked out, but I don't know if it's been intentionally leaked out by the club. I suspect it has been. And you know, it was, you know, that's just going to heat up. I think speaking to Barney's dad, I don't think his phone stopped ringing effectively. Because once the word gets out on that, we've heard of other clubs that were here to look at him because he's so young and raw and is full of potential. We'll find out what happens. How much, I'm going to ask you this question. I mean, we don't want Barney to leave. We love Barney. He's such a great guy. But there comes a point that we need to become a selling club. We've got to pitch the fund. We've got, you know, start putting lead, hopefully markers down for that fourth stand. We've got training facilities to complete. If we are to facilitate all that sort of stuff, we need to strike sometimes when the iron's hot, and it's never been hotter with a potential like Barney. So seven figure sums being discussed for Barney. Where do we start dealing, Ross?
Well, the rumour, and it is only a rumour because obviously no one from the club or West Brom have mentioned this, but the rumour that was coming from down south was that it was 1.75 million that was declined. Now, if that is the case,
Jesus,
it's a lot of money. However, if it is the case, then it would seem that the club are obviously holding out for a lot more towards maybe £2.5-3 million, which is obviously a huge sum of money. Barney's at the start of the journey. John McGlynn mentioned, I think he said it on Friday night as well, that he potentially sees Barney being worth more even just next season, by the time next season comes along. So it'll be an interesting one to see if he does go, where does he go? How much will it be? Will he be loaned back? There's loads of different scenarios that potentially could be there at part of the deal. We don't want him to go. But as you said, there's other things. John McGlynn talked about it on Friday night too. They're obviously at an advanced stage with the training facilities within the area. The pitch is going to be getting replaced this time next year. fourth stand potentially eventually. Not that this one thing is going to cover all of that, but it's a huge opportunity for the club and Barnet for that matter as well.
I mean, obviously, there's top paper talk as well, Calvin Miller, and you wouldn't be surprised again with his numbers this season. He's been absolutely phenomenal again, picking up all the players of the tournament, apart from the Falkirk Daft Player of the Year, which
No, he
was
didn't, did he?
we awarded to Leon McCann. So congratulations to Leon. He was the Falkirk Daft Player of the Year, and my goal of the season as well was given out to Conor Allen. I don't think, it was between him and Kyrell, and it was Conor got about 50% of the vote in the end. But yeah, well done to Leon as well. He got his award from John McGlynn yesterday. We just confirmed that with him, so that's great. But yeah, Calvin Miller could be another one on his way out. He's only got a year left in his contract, so if you are going to try and get money out of Calvin, you need to act now.
It's probably now. It's probably now. There is an argument as well. Now, I don't want to. I've never spoken to Calvin about this, but if the level of interest is there for him as well in some big clubs, you'd imagine at his age, he might fancy a move as well.
He's
He's
got
had
to get
three
it,
fantastic seasons with Falkirk as
exactly.
well. You don't grudge him it.
Don't grudge him at all, because at 28, it's his last probably big chance to get a big move. And if a club's coming, I'll be interested to see who would, does he fit into Hearts model? Does he fit in, or is it down south? We just don't know with Calvin and the situation. Certainly, it could be two players on the way out, and it is sad. You can see my background, tribute to the man himself,
There he
Gary
goes.
Goals himself. He's put out, he's kind of been ahead of the curve, and basically said that was his last game. And it was brilliant that he got the last 20 minutes of the match. I was delighted that Gary Oliver got off the bench and he got an amazing reception. And the last time we'll see him in a Falkirk jersey. And it was really sad, because you looked around that whole, at the end of the game, you looked around that pitch and you go, there's a lot of players you're not going to see in a Falkirk shirt again. When you think Lisa was obviously injured but was there, Kyrell, apparently Swansea loan manager, was there yesterday. Lots of clubs are interested in taking him on loan, so I don't know if we'll see him back. Henry, God, Dylan Tate,
Bembrosio as well.
Bembrogio, like all these players, Lewis Nielsen, but I don't know if many people want to see him back in a Falkirk jersey, poor Lewis. But there's so many players on that pitch. Yes, Brian Graham could be another one, and you go, God, it's really sad when you think you might not see these guys in a Falkirk shirt again. And they've all to a man been brilliant for the club, whether it is the like Gary, who was invincible, back-to-back champion. We don't know what the situation's going to be with Aidan, Tam, Alfie. They're still under contract to the club. Son Tom on the pitch yesterday, so it was great to see. But you just don't know what the situation's going to be with those three as well. Is there
Very
going to be
true.
like a handshake deal? And then like you can go and find another club. Who knows? But there's a hell of a lot of business that needs done in the summer. A lot of players are going to be need to brought in, and I'm sure we spoke to John and Paul about, I mean, the recruitment, as you can probably hear, has started already if we're looking at this Gwynavon winger now as
Yeah,
well.
they're looking to get business done early doors, he said. The pair of them finish up for their own holidays in about 10 days' time, so I think we will see some movement. Whether it's announced in the next 10 days is maybe a different matter, because obviously I know there's still rules and regulations about players being contracted until certain dates and stuff like that. So like Gary Oliver, he's announced he's leaving, but his contract probably doesn't finish until the end of May. It might be into June before we do start to hear about players officially not coming back or coming back or coming at all. But it is exciting. This is the period of time where the fans love it, don't we? And it is a little bit
It's
sad,
sad.
though.
It's
It's
sad.
sad as well. It's sad as
It is
well.
sad. I mean, you've watched these guys in the navy blue for the last 3 or 4 seasons. Gary being a prime example, and it does feel like the end of an era. Do you know what I mean? It does feel like that invincible squad will be broken up. We'll still have the kind of core left there of the squad, but it does feel like the end of an era, and it's really sad, because we've had such amazing memories with these
We
players,
have massively.
and they've all, to to credit to them, done a brilliant job in League One and in the Championship. It's just, you know, it's just that step a bit far. So when you look at the players, I mean, Ethan Ross could be another player that you could to look at. Is he Premiership level? You know, I don't know. I think the jury's still a wee bit out on Ethan as well. He got a start yesterday and had his opportunity, but I don't know if he showed up as well as he could have.
Yep.
So it's at the end of the year. It does you feel really, really sad about it, but thanks for the memories, guys. And we'll,
absolutely,
obviously we'll find out what's going on over the next couple of weeks. I'm sure we'll have announcements on players and what's happening with the squad. But yeah, big summer ahead for John and Paul. So we'll wait and find out what happens there. Let's put a shout out as well to our sponsors, our final sponsors of this season. It's Rumour Architecture, Armour Architecture. Ryan was at Falkirk Daft Live on Friday as well. Had a few drinks there and hopefully got some business, because I did shout out to the stage. If you want an extension, he's your man. And if you quote Falkirk Daft at armour.co.uk, you are going to get 10% off your project. So there you go. Ryan will sort that. It's just, if you're calling him, you're getting in touch with him, you're looking for an extension, a development, commercial property, whatever you've got, speak to Ryan, tell him that you heard his name on Falkirk Daft, and you're going to get 10% off your project fee there. So speak to Ryan. He's only one of only three chartered architects across the town. And we all know that Ryan is the only Falkirk supporter of those three. We've kind of had that confirmed. So keep it in the Falkirk family. If you're looking for an architect, use Ryan and head to rmar.co.uk. Right. Birthday corner, Ross, and who are we wishing happy birthday to this week?
Yeah, we've got a couple in, John. Craig Brown got in touch to say that Greg Brown is going to be 27, and wishing him a happy birthday from his mum, dad, and also Mark. And it is one that's a little bit further away. However, our good friend Yvonne got in touch, because we may not have a podcast around the time of the birthday, but her daughter Maya is going to be 21. On the 4th of July, and she's having a party, as we know. And so she just wanted to wish Maya a massive happy 21st when the time comes.
Happy birthday, Maya. Couple of players celebrating their birthday. It was obviously Brad Spencer's. We were our 30th minute. Happy birthday to Brad. Didn't really work out, though. We only realised at the last minute.
We
could have started it, but we just like, we can't be arsed. So happy birthday to Brad yesterday. Couple of players' birthdays. Lee Miller, he's only 43, Lee Miller. I thought he'd be older than that. Still looks really young as well, Lee's, but there you go. He is 43 on the 18th, and he shares his birthday with Craig Sibbald, who's obviously returning as well. So Craig and Lee both share the same birthday, and Craig turns 31 tomorrow. And of course, we will see him in the navy blue next season. Can't wait for that.
And sounds like John McGlynn can't wait to see him in the navy blue as well. He did have a he did talk about Craig on Friday night, because he I think it was either you or I had said, "Oh yes, the infamous scarf above the head picture," and he had a off the cuff. Shout out to Andy, Andrew and Adam and the media team for releasing that early.
Yes, he wasn't too happy about that. I would imagine the two of them got a balking for it. But no, it's class. Can't wait to see him in the navy blue next season. Martin Rennie, there you go. He's a former manager, turns 51. There you go.
Works at McDonald's now.
He does not.
No.
No, I don't know what he's doing with himself.
Should be.
Mind him. We need to find out what Martin Rennie is doing with himself. And on the 24th, the one and only Brian Irvine turned 61.
Went for a lot of money.
Yeah, went for a lot of money. What a centre half he was for the Bairns. Really, really good. Right, let's get into some club news. The McEwen Fraser, as predicted on this podcast, we heard at England, McEwen Fraser Legal are the new shirt sponsors. Sad, obviously, saying goodbye to the Carrot, but you know, speaking to Scott, it's silly. There's a lot of money now in the Premiership, so it's big firms that are going to snap up the sponsorships, you know, and that is just the way of the world, you know. And McEwen and Fraser, apparently the most lucrative shirt sponsor we've had.
Yeah, that was what I think I saw Sean Scaly mention on the on the press release. And so, John, it must be worth a decent sum because you remember some of the figures getting bandied about in the early noughties when we had, sorry, the mid noughties when we had Central Demolition during the Premier League season of old. And there was some big money getting exchanged. So massive shout out to the commercial guys for getting that one over the line.
Yeah, well done to the guys. I'm sure there'll be more deals and like that to come. You know, when you think of it back, I don't know if the Manichae are still going to be back assurance next season
Not
or
heard anything as
not.
yet, no. And as we know, I'm sure there'll be the other opportunities within the strip as well, shorts and socks and whatever else you're allowed to sponsor these days as
Oh, you
well.
can sponsor anything.
Arse cheek.
Speak to the commercial team. They'll sort you out. But yeah, that'll be. And I can't wait for, obviously, for the new strip as well, which I'm sure will be out in the next few
John,
weeks.
speaking of sponsors, I spoke for us during the week, and I hope you don't mind. I said to Kai Brown's mum, that we should the podcast should sponsor Kai next year.
Right, do you know what? We didn't have a podcast player this year. So Kai Brown, do you know what? What a great shout! Let's Falkirk Daft.
I
We'll
thought that would be nice.
get on to the commercial team and we'll see if we can sponsor Kai Brown next season,
Yeah, that'd be good.
shirt or away shirt or whatever.
Something, yeah.
Something. We'll sponsor something, Kai. We know Kai probably listens to this podcast as well. So yeah, we'll get something sponsored for you, Kai, next season. Right, listen, we were meant to have a guest pundit on. It was meant to be the one, the only Jack Foote, who's obviously an MMA star. He was on the pitch other week, but he's either was up watching the MMA last night and watching Ronda Rousey. My God, Ronda Rousey knocked out what was her name in about 7 seconds.
Wow, that is quick.
It was unbelievable. So,
I think he's at his defense. I think he's in the gym. He's smashing it in the gym. But
yeah, we need to.
Jack's going to come on at some point over the summer, or maybe even our first podcast back. Jack will be on. So looking forward to chatting to him because I know he's keen as well, and look forward to that.
Yeah, it was Gina Carano. She 17 seconds. She was in the ring
Oh,
when
wow.
basically put her in an armbar and stopped it in 17 seconds. Everyone
Jesus.
waiting up to about 3 in the morning to watch that for 17 seconds. Sounds like my sex life. But there you go. But I will get Jack on in the new year. And actually, this is not going to be the last Falkirk Daft, by the way. We're going to do a season review next week. We're hopefully going to get recruit the Falkirk Daft TV guys. We'll do Falkirk Daft, sorry, Falkirk TV guys, and we'll do Falkirk Daft versus Falkirk TV as we review the season as a whole next week. So that's to look forward to next week. But let's now just talk me and you, Ross. Let's shoot the shit and let's talk about Rangers 5 Falkirk 2 at the Bernabeu yesterday. Going out in the match, obviously. Good few changes. Henderson, Dawson, Brojo, and Hart came in for Nielsen. Well, the Hearts match. Actually, let's talk about the Hearts match first because we've not discussed that first. Let's briefly talk about the Hearts match. There was obviously changes there with Henderson, Dawson, Brojo, and Hart coming in for Nielsen, McCann, Lisa, and Stewart. Ross, you were at the match. What did you make of this?
In terms of the changes, I was all right with it. It was all right with the changes. Obviously, we knew Nielsen couldn't play against Hearts, his parent club. Leon and Phil had obviously took sore ones, as did Barney, as we found out. So the changes made sense. Great to see Sam Hart come back in. He's obviously not had any minutes at all since December. And I tell you one thing, he did not put a foot wrong.
Yeah,
All
he was
I
excellent.
thought he was
He was
phenomenal on
excellent.
Wednesday night.
Yeah, I mean, well, I had a bit of a nightmare. My Sky wasn't working on Wednesday, so I got back in from work at 8 o'clock, realised that my TV wasn't working, so basically put Finlay in the car, said, right, we're off to the pub. Ran down to the station and watched it in the station, in the ladies' lounge in the station. So that was my Wednesday because I was like, Jesus, I can't miss this. So I watched it from the station bar in the ladies' lounge at the station bar on Wednesday. And great parenting by me, by the way. Fabulous. Finlay had his history exam the next again day. So fantastic. Winning
Let's hope
dad
he's
of the year.
passed. Let's hope he's
Let's
passed.
hope he's passed. Dad of the year yet again. Fantastic. But he wasn't going to miss it. He wasn't going to miss it. So, first 15, 20 minutes, we looked like we were on top. Had a lot of Hearts fans worried.
We did.
Calvin Miller.
phenomenal.
Just off.
I know they've released the pictures and it is offside based on the pictures, right? But I still think you can't see where the ball's left the boy's foot.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who played the pass. That's just went out my head. But you can't actually the ball leave anyway. If it stood, I think it would have been a fantastic start for us because we were on the front foot. We were all over them really for the first 15-20 minutes. We would have deserved the lead as well. And you do wonder what difference it potentially may have made to the evening because as much as Tynecastle was rocking before the game, they were nervous at points
Yeah.
and it was quiet at points, John. Like, see when it wasn't going their way, they were really quiet.
Yeah. And it was a mental, like, I looked at the team sheet and went, that's mental. I thought it was going to be 4-6-0 because it was just mental. We didn't have a recognised striker despite having loads on the bench. We didn't have a recognised striker. But John explained it. You said he kind of went, Motherwell did that against Hearts as well.
Yeah.
And it kind of worked. But
Pushing the wingers higher up. And I know there was a lot of moans and groans at the stadium, John, on Wednesday night about Nicky's distribution. However, John also did explain that the one of the first half tactics anyway was for us Nicky to sort of get the ball up the pitch, but out the pitch to try and get us up the park. And he did caveat that with it didn't always it wasn't always for that reason. There was a couple of miskicks in there as well. But John did explain that that was part of the thinking in the first half was to get us up the pitch. So you do feel for a little bit for Nicky because I think everybody thought, oh my God, he's really nervous or he's struggling. But he wasn't. He was just following the instructions that were given to him.
Like we're down in the bare bones, and obviously it was a set piece yet again that did us. Just Frankie Kent, or just I know we've spoken about zone marking and man marking till the cows come home, but there you go. Just a free
Wandered
header
into the box and thought, I'm just
into
going
the
to free header
box.
this.
Yeah,
Really poor.
absolutely.
Yeah. And I saw Cole at the time was particularly annoyed. Actually, I thought it was him, but I think it was Hendo that unfortunately didn't fully didn't
Yeah,
do the
we'll talk about the Rangers game as well. I don't think Kendall will look back with fond memories on that game yesterday either. And then the defending again, it takes a deflection. Cammy Devlin for it going 2-0 as well. But it was just, come on.
Why did we do that though? Like, why try and put it across your own box?
I know.
It was poor, and bye. There's not really any
Some. Yeah.
sugarcoat in
But
the
yeah,
defender.
let's just skip over the Hearts game because then we obviously, the chances were few and far between. We defended in parts okay, just our in-box defending was pretty terrible. And shout out again to Sam Hart. I thought he was outstanding. Thought he was
He
brilliant.
was my Falkirk Daft
Yeah.
man of the match, if I'm being honest, John.
100% agree. 100% agree. We'll not talk too much about the defending. Blair Spittle, obviously, nothing that Nicky could do about it. Good
No,
goal
it was a
from
good
him.
finish.
It was a good finish, so you can't take away from that one. But like the other two, it was like, Jesus, come on, guys, come
I don't
on.
know. Yeah, not ideal.
And
And
it led into the Rangers game afterwards as well. So.
it did. It sort of bled into that, didn't it? Right from kickoff.
Yeah. A couple of comments on the Hearts game. James kicks us off, say, I don't know who the set piece coach is. I'm sure he's had a good fella who tries hard, but after the season we've had defending him, it's tough to see how he's in the post next year. So many goals shipped. Fair play to Hearts, so took their chances. I don't think we've got a set piece coach, James.
No, I don't think we do.
I don't think we can afford one.
Well, maybe we will with the Barn
Maybe
money.
we will after watching some of the defending from set pieces
Yeah,
potentially.
absolutely. Chris McCreary says it was always going to be difficult against a team that has so much talent and has a very good backing on a night that they could potentially have made history, as we know they didn't. Death, taxes, and Falkirk conceding from set pieces, however.
Yep, Croft says Sam Hart, Falkirk Daft rated, properly tough game to come into completely cold and was probably our best player on the night. Yeah,
Indeed.
absolutely.
Gavin McGill says Sam Hart not had a minute since December and already been told he's been released by Port Vale. Fair play to him.
There you go. Poor Sam. And Colin says, we weren't bad, probably story of our last four or five games. Play okay, but defensive errors costing us. If Calvin's early goal counts, I think it's a different game. Tiredness definitely kicking in now, and an unsettled backline costing us. Yeah, you can just tell that it has been. I mean, it's the last five games. You know, we had our one against Motherwell, but that's the only one win we've taken out of the five games we played, and Rangers were in a similar situation as well. They hadn't won any of the games and they obviously got their win yesterday against us as we went into the game. Again, some changes being made, some enforced, some not so much. Ethan Ross came in, Henry Cartwright got a run out, Lewis Nielsen parachuted back into the squad in place of Cole Donaldson, who's went to the toilet more than I've ever seen any player go to the toilet during a match on Saturday. I wonder why. And Ben Parkinson got a start up front there. So I think Cole's mind was elsewhere. So maybe a good managerial shout from John. I'm sure, Cole's obviously a professional, absolutely professional. But yeah,
he did go to the toilet a lot.
He did go to the toilet a lot, and I didn't notice he was wearing his. I did. He did shout up to us, keep us a shout of what the score is as well over at time. And I noticed he did have. It looked like he had his Apple Watch on him for obviously just checking
Notifications.
notifications. But aye. So yeah, the call was obviously dropped to the bench, as was Dylan Tate, Kyrie Wilson and Connor Allen, which I thought was a surprising one, but it meant Finn Yeats went old school League One style, and Finn was put back at right back.
He did. He didn't do too badly at right
He
back.
didn't,
I,
yeah.
obviously, defensively as a whole, again, we started so poorly.
Oh, so bad.
Do you know, injuries have played a huge part, John, not just in defence, but obviously, when you look through the injury list, we Ethan Williams, Louis Marsh, all these boys, and obviously the most recent ones were McCann and Lissa. You do wonder if we'd kept a lot of these boys fit, where potentially the season could have finished, like could fourth or fifth opened up, would we be in a cup final? We don't know, because it's that is what it is. But the injuries have forced his hand into some weird and wonderful lineups, most recently as well. And I felt for Finn yesterday, because he's done so well in his natural midfield position, and he was always going to be up against it yesterday with the wingers that they spaced.
From going from a 10 to right back is some sort. I was speaking to Finn's mum and dad afterwards. I was like, he just goes all over the place. He just plays where he's total. He does a great job anywhere he goes. So going from playing 10 one week to playing right back the next again week, so some change. But as you say, defending just again, just. I just defending for the first goal. The second goal. I don't think you can take anything away from Chermiti's strike. Watching it back,
Good strike,
unbelievable strike. That's a £9 million striker that we're coming
and
up
that is
against.
the difference. That can sometimes be the difference. The first one, we really shot ourselves in the foot, though, between not marking, not pressing,
Letting the ball, getting the ball away,
a
just
silly
letting.
pass
Yeah,
from
Cartwright, I think.
Nielsen to start with,
Yeah, it was Nielsen, wasn't it?
and
Yeah.
yeah, so horrible, horrible first goal. Second goal, just as you said, what a strike. I would never have sat there and applauded it, but it was an amazing finish
Yeah,
from him. Not as good as Falkirk's first goal, obviously.
I know. I was just like, I was just a bonder. It was Danny goals, own goals and gaffes, Danny Baker style, back to the 90s video set. That
Yeah.
one
What
was one
happened
that could
next?
appear. What happened next? A question of sport. Just an absolute blunder from the Rangers defence. But long may that continue. And it went 2-1 there. How that goal was VAR checked for so long, I have no idea. I don't know
No.
what they were checking for. I don't know what the complaint was for.
I think I know. Do you want to know what it is? They were trying to see if there was any way at all they could get Rangers out of that own goal.
I
That was
know.
it. What
I
else were
know.
they checking for?
I was like, what? I watched it back. The sports scene didn't even refer to it as a VAR check when I was watching back the highlights. I was like, how was that VAR check? I couldn't understand for the life of me.
Know.
But yeah, 2-1. But then again, just shoot ourselves in the foot not long after. And then, Gassama,
It was a
again,
good finish.
it was a good finish, but Hendo looked back at that goal and he got rolled too easy. And Hendo will not be happy with himself. And we'll talk about the fourth goal in a minute. But It got rolled too easy for that goal, and it was a good finish from him, but again, we
It
shouldn't.
was.
Just bad defending again. And then we get one back, again, a VAR check, but it was a definite handball. I shouted, I was the only one that in amongst our group there, Ross. It was like, how is that? Like, I was just like, it's so obviously a handball.
So I didn't see it at the time, right? I don't know what I was looking at, but having watched it back, I came off two Rangers players'
Aye, it's
hands.
Gassama Barnes had got his hand up, then
Right.
Gassama handballs it. So I'm
Right.
like, that was a Gassama handball. I was shouting back, but they were saying on the TV it was given for the Conor
Conor
Bradley
Barron.
handball.
Yeah.
And I'm like I was just up, and no one else seemed to be up at this. I'm like, it's a penalty, and then obviously it got awarded, and Calvin Miller, good penalty from him again,
Lovely finish. Yep.
and then 3-2, Parky had a chance to make it 3-3 as well. Butland had a good save from him, but
He did.
3-2, right? You go in, right? Go right. Okay, just keep it. Be smart in the first 10 minutes, and let's see if we can snatch back a draw. And did we fuck? We made surprisingly John McGuinness. I don't know what was going on. Obviously Cartwright and Brad Spencer. I think Brad had maybe picked up an Oculus foot anyway, and both were on yellow cards. So he changed the midfield. He puts Conor Allan his natural position in midfield as well, which was really interesting. So it was Conor and Dylan Tate that came on the park, along with Ross McKeever, who replaced Ben Parkinson as well. I don't know if it was just to give guys runouts or if it was tactical. I guess yellow cards played into it for Henry and Ben.
Well, yeah, the yellow cards probably. I didn't think Henry had a good first half, so I
No,
can
he didn't
understand why he
actually.
made the change. Parkinson needs probably a pre-season. I know he had the strike just before the first half, but I don't think we've seen anything really since Hart's goal.
He didn't really affect the game at all.
No, not
Ben
really.
really didn't really affect the game at all. So I thought Ross, when he came on, was really good. I thought he
Totally
was good.
agree.
I thought he was good when he came on at Hearts as well. I thought, like, obviously we'll talk about his chance in a minute, but like, I don't know if the changes, like, because I was just getting back to my seat and I just looked up and went, oh Jesus Christ, it's another Rangers goal. Jesus,
Yeah.
just losing those early goals so quick off the mark, and it was again, it was too easy. It was too easy again. Hendo gets caught under the ball. From the cross, he gets caught under it. Chermiti just runs in, bang. It's simple. It's a
Easy
crossing
goal.
header. And again, defender's got to be looked at for there. And it's 4-2. And at that point, he's going, just blow
Yeah,
the
what's it
whistle
going to
now.
be? I know that was the panic.
It was just like blow the whistle now because I can't be bothered with it.
Chuck
But
a white towel in.
I was just like, yeah, just let's get up the road. Let's just shake hands and get up the road. Or let's. But because after that, it was just the game kind of petered out as the season kind of has as well. It was just like the wind has gone for the sails, and everyone's just like, right, let's just get up the road now. Let's just get up the road and get to our holidays. But yeah, it was like I say, it was really nice to see Gary Oliver getting his last appearance, and well done to the ultras. Obviously singing the songs for Gary.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed we didn't have the old "Just Sold My Car to Gary Oliver"
Yeah, I
chant.
didn't hear that one.
Nah,
Yeah,
was
that would have
poor.
been good.
Oh.
It was nice to see him back out in the pitch. Obviously didn't. Yeah, he had a couple of touches in the 10 position almost. Some nice wee touches, but obviously it wasn't going to be a day for him probably getting a goal, just with how we were playing. And Rangers looked fairly comfortable at the back, and apart from the balls up at the first goal, obviously.
Yeah, we
What?
didn't really create anything. Dylan had a
No,
hot
we
shot.
didn't.
Calvin was a nuisance, but I mean, yeah, it wasn't good. I mean, the big chance came. Obviously, we could have made it 4-3, when Ross McKeever flicks on, gets onto his own kind of flick on, and then everyone's screaming, cross the ball. Calvin gets it. And it's a good save from Butland. I mean, Calvin
As
looked back saying, I should probably should have buried that, because it's
yeah.
a big chance for him. But and especially the way he's been this season as well. But when we miss that chance, it's kind of game over then. Absolutely game over then. And the Rangers get their fifth goal, and it was just, I spoke, Lewis Nielsen was in the lounge afterwards. I said, was it a penalty? And he said, yeah, it was. It was just naive of me. Just really naive of him.
To be fair, I don't know why it was speed. I heard someone behind us saying that the boy had dived. And I'm like, what are you watching? It was a
Shove
shove
in the
winner. It
back.
was a shove.
Shove in the back.
Yeah, it probably just summed up our day, to be honest. And Lewis's probably,
Well,
unfortunately.
yeah,
Yeah.
Lewis didn't have a great day at the office. I don't think Hendo had a great day at the office either. And saying that, you look at the Gassama goal and that fourth goal for Rangers as well.
If you think about the defence, it probably was a centre half. Like Sam did all right in his left back
Sam
position,
was
but it's
fine. He
just
obviously
gone
just got. He obviously he had
tired.
really. He had a really good ball into the whipped a really good ball into the box at one point as well. And yeah, I think Sam was just tired. You saw Calvin Miller's face when he got asked to move to left back. Was a picture, by the way, when
Yeah,
they
he
made
wasn't
the
happy, was
change.
he?
No, he was moved from right because obviously we went as well. We obviously Ethan Ross started. We inverted again like we used to do in the championship.
Yeah.
Calvin was so happy when he got asked to move to left back. I was like, there you go. But that's where we're at with it all. That's exactly where we're at. We're bringing in Sam Hart from the cold and then having Calvin Miller, our most creative and influential player, play a
Yep.
left back. That tells you to where tells you where this squad's
Absolutely, and
going.
needs must, unfortunately, with the threadbare nature of the squad.
And it's a shame that you were hoping that young Kai would have got on for his first minutes, and I
That would
thought
have been
it
nice.
would have been
Yeah, I was
nice.
kind of
But
hopeful.
that didn't happen, but never mind. I'm sure his time will
That's where
come.
John should have went up to Danny Rule and said, listen, it's 5-2. Let us just put Kai on for 2 minutes. Take Ethan Ross off, put Kai on. It's not going to change the scoreline or anything. Do you know what I mean?
Aye,
All
because
in gentlemen's
I mean
agreement between.
they brought on three young players there at the end. And by the way, Neil Scally's son, former Scally, thanks for Barcelona. Neil Scally's son came off the bench for Rangers
Aye,
yesterday as
there you
well.
go.
So there you
There you
go.
go.
That was a wee factoid for you. But yeah, I mean, Asgard scores the penalty. Like Nicky was getting nowhere near it, and that was it. Season over. It was just a bit of a. It just left a wee bit of sour taste in your mouth. You wanted to maybe
Well,
just
yeah.
finish in a bang. And it just, but it was a really odd atmosphere because like Rangers was, it was almost like golf applause when they scored. It was
Yeah, there was no
like,
celebrations when
no.
the biggest cheer of the day was when Hearts scored against
But at the
Celtic in the
same
first
time we were
half.
getting a penalty, at the same
Aye,
time we got a penalty, like Rangers
yeah.
supporters were cheering as if the penalty they were getting a penalty against them. It was a really strange, surreal moment where this
It
cheer
was
went up and
very
we were just
mixed.
about to take a penalty. It was very,
Yeah.
very strange, very, very strange. But yeah, it was just odd atmosphere. It was just an odd game. And I think at the end, I think it was like stand upon the prayers. And of course, it's an unbelievable achievement. It's amazing. We sat here saying 10th will do, 10th will 100% do, and to finish top six. It's just because that last five matches, it's just hard going, isn't it? Jesus.
I think, see if we didn't have the semi defeat, I don't know if there would have been as much sort of feeling about the games after the top six, because I think you're right, everyone was so chuffed that we were here and we're there. And I think the fans and a good chunk had stayed behind yesterday to thank the players. But for me, the semi-finals probably is probably the only low point. Like, it's not nice losing four out of the five post-split games, and we lost 20 goals. Was it 20 or 21 goals? So it's a huge number of goals to have lost. But so proud of the players, so proud of what they've done. And we thank the guys who are moving on, as we've said. But it is a nice, it's an exciting next chapter for the club as well. And it is an evolution. And at every summer, a few players have moved on. This year's probably the most that we'll see from the Invincible squad moving on. But it doesn't take away what's been achieved. Doesn't take
Oh,
away at all.
absolutely not. Absolutely not. And that was the season over, 5-2 defeat. And like I say, it was just good to, get a lot of those boys last time we'll see in a Falkirk top, Falkirk jersey. So it was just good to give them a send off. And you just wonder, like you say, you're missing five first team starters pretty much from that lineup yesterday, aren't you?
Yeah,
Think
and
Scotty,
also
Arnie.
having any real impact from the bench as well. You missed that. So, really nice interview from John McGlynn, with Falkirk TV after the game as well.
Well, let's hear what John McGuinness had to say after the match.
John, you mentioned on Wednesday night that today's game was a bit of a dead rubber. What were your thoughts on everything that happened today?
Yeah, we've still got to go out and play with pride and play for the fans and you know, make it a lot more difficult for Rangers than we've done today. The start in the game's, you know, so poor. So poor to lose a goal so early. No, we've not defended very well in the last two or three games, maybe more than that. We weren't so bad at Tynecastle to some extent. But we were giving the opposition so much, you know, grip of the game by getting goals early and not making them so nervous. You know, they take the goal well, but it's a poor, poor goal, the first goal from our point of view. Likewise, the second comes from a throw-in and they get a little bit better break and it sets up nicely and you know, they hit it and it's a good shot. We, obviously, a little bit fortunately get a goal back and obviously get the penalty in and get even closer. But then the start of the second half, we lose another one, a cheap cross in. No one marking, free header, big lad, he's going to just head it in the bottom corner. And it kind of like meant at that stage it was kind of game over. We had a good chance. Ross McKeever did exceptionally well and he managed to get the ball across for Calvin. And, you know, Jack Butland showed his qualities today. You know, he made a great save there. He took some corners, crosses and corners very, very well. He looked a, you know, top class goalkeeper. And then we concede a penalty again. Quite silly what the other way we lose it. So look, we've defended better than that this season. It's not the end that we would have wanted, but we can't forget, you know, a big thank you to the fans for the entire season, particularly today, staying back behind when, you know, the team's not done particularly well. Great that you can see beyond that as well, that it's very much about the season today and how much entertainment and enjoyment that we've given the fans on the pitch, you know, producing the performances that they are now expecting, really, you know. They're now expecting to see how we've been playing for the past few years. They know what we can do and they know when we didn't get up to it, to that standard, you know. So they're no robots and no machines, you know. They will have off days and again, a little bit like what I said, you mentioned it there, maybe just getting towards the point whereupon it's maybe a little game too far, a lot of tired legs. You know, we played a number of cup ties, getting to the Scottish Cup semi-final, you've gone all the way through the League Cup as well, we got through in there. And it's a 8-game league. Yeah, we've been used to playing 36 games. And so we maybe just ran out a little bit of legs. We tried to freshen up, but I wouldn't necessarily say it kind of worked. One or two injuries to key players makes it a bit more difficult as well. Quite difficult. So, yeah, I mean, let's not get too down about today and let's appreciate and looking back we've fought this on this season.
Just a word on the fans. You mentioned, you know, it was nice that they showed their appreciation after yeah. the game. Is that bond between the fans and the players and the club the strongest has ever been, and how important is that going into our second season in the Premiership?
Well, that seems to be the message that I'm getting from fans. You know, I've been at a couple of events now, the one along at the Enshire for the recognition night, and then obviously the Falkirk Daft there on, you know, last night. And a lot of goodwill. I think there is a bond. I think the fans have seen that the players are playing for the jersey and running every week and putting that effort in, the commitment in, and, you know, producing quality football that they want to see. And it's entertaining and it's attacking. And so, yeah, I think there's a great bond there. I think when we came in, myself and Paul, 4 years ago, it was missing. And it probably took a couple of years to get it going in the right direction. And now, you know, absolutely delighted to say that, you know, thoroughly enjoying the time here at Falkirk Football Club. Myself and Paul, we've been here 4 years now. We're contracted to 29. We've got a long time to go. And we want to make sure that we can stabilise the football club in the Premiership. And if we can do that with the help of the fans, you know, we've got 5,700 season ticket holders in this current season. The season tickets are obviously on sale, and I would be delighted if that 5,700 could, you know, get a season ticket again and back us. It would help us going forward. And if we can stabilise, then the club's going to make a profit this year, quite a significant profit in my eyes. And if we can continue to do that, then it will help the whole football club develop.
There we go. Last words from John for the season. And then just at the end there, he said he was about to greet. So that was very, very good, John. Very good. And it was good to hear from. And he gets Falkirk Daft a mention. So thanks for that, John. Appreciate that.
He gets us, doesn't he? He gets us. And the fans get him as well.
He gets it. He just gets it. And long may that continue. He's well, you know, again, we talk about, you know, we spoke to obviously to the manager of the Millennium, Jim Jefferies. You know, and we did ask, you know, like what his thoughts on John. He couldn't be more complimentary about John and the job he's done. You know, so it was and he will waste. You know, I think he's nailed on for being the greatest Falkirk manager now. I don't think there's an argument now. I'd speaking to a few people, and people still kind of harp back to Jim Jefferies, obviously with two title wins and getting us to fifth. But I think the way that John's done it, in the manner he has, and going invincible and then going back to back and then getting top six, I think that argument is now. I think John McGuinn, Paul Smith, the greatest managerial team we've had.
100%. Yeah. For me too, mate, and it's amazing that we've been able to, because not every generation has had a successful Falkirk period, and but we can definitely say this has been a hugely successful period, and on and off the pitch.
Yeah, and it'll be to listen. Next season is going to be tougher than this season, because there's no way Aberdeen, Dundee United don't come back. After the summer, bigger and better. You know, you can hope that maybe Motherwell, Kilmarnock as well, is another one that have had a poor season this season. Dundee, it is going to be tough. We don't know who's going to be joining it.
We can pretend. I think we'll improve, John.
I think we'll improve, but it's good. I think it's a big next season to get top six will be a huge ask.
Probably an even harder. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, even as a harder ask next season, because Rangers and Celtic won't be as bad as well. That's another thing you've got to take into consideration. Motherwell, if the manager leaves and they get absolutely raided for all their players, they might find it. Like us, they might find it tough as well. So it'll be interesting. Obviously interesting. There's a lot of time between the end of this season and the start of the next. But
one team who won't be in the Premiership, though, John, is Dunfermline.
Oh, yeah, of course. Dunfermline will not be in the Premiership next season. It was funny at Falkirk Daft Live, because we were obviously on stage when the full-time whistle went, and the big cheer went up, and we were in the middle of talking to Jim Jefferies and Billy, and they kind of looked out, what's going on? And we're, that'll be Dunfermline getting beat off Thistle then. Well done. Well done, obviously. Well done to my friends, Mark Wilson and Alex Ray, doing a fabulous job at Thistle. And I messaged Mark on the Saturday morning saying, brilliant, mate, superb.
I want them to do it. I want them to get up. And
I want Thistle to get up, because it's a great away day.
And that is the only reason, if I'm being honest, because I don't mind St Mirren. I'm not against St Mirren at all. But it's probably a better away day than St Mirren. So that is purely it. That's it.
So go on the Thistle. On the Thistle. We'll wait and see what happens. Yeah, and by the way, congratulations to Stennis Muir as well. Championship next season after beating the Wasps. They got beat by the Wasps 1-0 last night, but that's them up to the Championship. So fantastic season for Stenny. But again, they're losing their manager, Gary Naismith. So
I saw a small video that I think Stennis Muir put up last night, and it was Gary Naismith addressing the fans in the bar in the main stand.
The wee bar thing.
And so he obviously gave a heartfelt speech, and it was all like taken very well by the fans. And then they all started singing Air Away, aha, aha, I like it. As in, because obviously Gary Naismith's going to air now, isn't he?
Yeah.
So he'll now be facing Stennis Muir in the Championship. So,
of course, well done to Stenny getting up. You know, local team's done well. Caymon done a fantastic, fantastic season as well.
Caymon's done well. I can't fully be massively like super happy for Stenny, because remember they didn't put a roof over us in 2003. I'm still bitter as fuck about that. So but I'm 80-10 happy for
them. There you go. Still holding that grudge.
It will never be 9 or 10.
Let's get back to talk about Falkirk and the Rangers game yesterday, Heather, and let's get your comments on it. Brendan says, would have been nice to go out with a bang rather than a whimper. That probably goes for the whole post spot, yeah. But meh. If you'd offer me top six and a poke in the eye with a shitty stick at the start of the season, I'd have gnawed your arm off. Amazing season, amazing club. Here.
Love it. Well done, Brendan. Paul Fullerton says, with nothing at stake for either team, the game wasn't up to much. I don't know if you say that. It's seven goals, isn't it? Some sloppy goals conceded, however, yet again. But anyway, now is the time to start looking ahead to next season. A lot of change coming to the team. Let's hope for some exciting new signings.
Yeah, we're going to have to make a good few. Homer says, more like a friendly. That makeshift defence isn't good enough. Glad we could say goodbye to Gary Goals on the pitch. That was good. Indeed. Yeah.
Ross says, good scoring friendly, to be fair.
Fair enough. Ian says, need some defensive reinforcements badly. I 100% agree with that. Realise we were a few regulars down today, but the way Rangers just strode through the defence on regular occasions without challenges worries me for next season. Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it in when we do our kind of sum up of the season, because we'll look ahead to what we need to next season, but that's the one point we need someone to partner Hendo. If Hendo is staying at the club, we need a beast alongside Hendo next season, and get a solid defensive partnership. I think that would be my top priority for signing next season.
Indeed. And finally, SCF says, it felt like an end of an era. Almost quite sad to see the farewells. It's been a fantastic season. Some highs, lows and laughs along the way. If Barney and Calvin are away, I hope we hold out for decent money. See you next season.
Yeah, we all indeed. We all indeed. But yeah, it's like I say, it feels like the end of an era, and you know, we'll see what goes. Right. Well, let's go for Falkirk Draft Rated, Ross, who we'll take the week as a whole, or do you want to give one? We'll give one to Sam for the Hearts game, I think.
Sam for Hearts.
Sam deserves it. Who gets it from yesterday for you?
See for what he did, and this is a little bit weird because I'm going to mention Wednesday as well, but for his contribution that he did on Wednesday and Saturday, I'm going to say Ross McKeever.
Oh, wow. There you go.
I thought he did well when he came on. Yeah. Thought he did well.
Got Ross McKeever. I'll go Ross McKeever. I'll go Ross McKeever as well, because he did really well when he came on, I thought.
Can I put a daft out there, but it's not for the game?
Yeah.
It was when you asked John McGlinnard Friday night if he had been at the Hearts Falkirk game.
I don't know where my head went there. So yeah, I'll gladly take that one, idiot. And then I said Finn Russell rather than Finn Yates.
Yeah.
I said I don't know where my head went. Jesus. I was speaking to Finn's mum and dad yesterday, and it's Yates, by the way. It's not Yeats, it's Yates. It has been confirmed by Finn's mum and dad yesterday.
Did she chin you on that, did she?
I got chinned on it. So thank you very much for correcting me. So Finn Yates, there you go. Right, we'll go with Ross McKeever then. Happy with that. No worries at all. I've got any dafty. We'd not reflected on how shite the referee, that Duncan Nicholson. Like, I heard, I think it was Craig Telfer on the terrace saying, he's like, Hen Brun as a downloadable character on Tekken. And I could not see that again. He's a big, lanky, shite referee, and it just was so frustrating yesterday. I found it really, really frustrating, referee. And as usual in Falkirk Daft, the Falkirk Dafty for me was the referee, Duncan Nicholson. He's terrible. Him and Ryan Lee
are the two of the worst.
They're dreadful, absolutely dreadful. Unless you've got another, I'll take the Dafty as well for my faux pas on with John at dinner.
Was probably the funniest part. That was funny. That was good.
There you go. Cool. Right, that's it then. Let's wrap up this episode. Let's say thanks very much, of course, to our sponsors as well before we wrap up our episode, and that is Falkirk Football Fans and Training. Get yourself down to the community pitches on a Wednesday night. Get involved with the guys. They were all there on Friday night. Dougie was speaking to Dougie, and he was saying that basically like to thank Falkirk Daft, because without us, he's getting lots more people coming down now as a result. Good. So, again, amazing. Over the summer, if you're looking to get fit and healthy, I think the guys are going to be there during the summer. So Wednesday, 8 o'clock in the community pitches. They've got the three sections, depending on your age, what you can join. And like you say, it's going to help your mental health, help your fitness. And, you know, get fit over the summer. That's our motto. I'm going to go and start running again and getting into that as well. Just because I went and picked up my car from the stadium today. I was like, walked past, and it was all the park run going on. I was like, I need to get back into cardio. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be running my half marathon soon enough again, Ross. That's my plan for the summer. And of course, if you want a game, though, get yourselves involved with Falkirk Football Fans in Training. T8s, the details are below. And of course, Behind the Wall, we've mentioned them already. Obviously, I think they sold over 100 Falkirk Daft Venoms on Friday night, which is mental. The big keg was behind the bar. It got emptied. And everyone was enjoying a Falkirk Daft Venom at Falkirk Daft Live. Of course, got a fine selection of ales, wines, and we've got great food as well. We had John McGuinn and Paul Smith for dinner. We had enjoyed dinner with the two of them, and John got one of the Snowball Sundays, and he said it was incredible.
It looked phenomenal. It did. It looked absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. So,
John got, I think Paul just went basic vanilla ice cream. He just, there was no frills about him. John was fully into the Snowball Sunday. It was that way. It's like, I think it was Lindsay who was serving us. And by the way, Lindsay, the best waitress in Falkirk. I'll tell you that right now. I hope you're listening to this feedback to you, Lindsay. She's incredible. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, Lindsay came over with a dessert menu. He goes, do you want to have a look at the dessert menu? And John's like, kind of looked at Paul and went, aye, I'll have a look at that. And it was like one of those ones that I think Paul just took the vanilla ice cream just because John was taking something.
It's extravagant. His wee face, though, when he was eating it. Like, I know I said this on stage. I was just engrossed watching John eating a sundae. That was class.
Exactly. But anyway, that's what to expect from Behind the Wall. Loads of stuff coming up in the bar, including the fact that you can get along to the pub and watch all the World Cup games with Scotland in there. Competition, if you are booking a space at Behind the Wall, you can get yourself, by quoting Falkirk Daft, you can get yourself a VIP treatment. We're going to get pizzas and drink for you and the best seats in the house. So if you are booking, we're going to do a competition, and I'll put up all the details for this on our socials. But yeah, you can basically get in because it's £5 a ticket. You can book it online or over the phone. Basically, yeah, brilliant competition we've got for you. All the details will be on there. And I'm padding just as a loop for the email from Bobby. Basically, you're going to get a Falkirk Daft Venom, a pizza, and prime seats for the game. By quoting Falkirk Daft, you go into the draw for that. And as I say, there's all three games. £5 a ticket, but you get a free pint. So it's just to make that happen, so they know how many spaces they've got. So there you go. Pretty much Behind the Wall is where you want to be going to watch all the World Cup games in Scotland are involved in. So there you go. I'm on the Scotland now that we've got something to look forward to in the summer at least.
As well as all the usual club things that will come out. The World Cup's going to be a huge event, isn't it? So, and see if we've got any Falkirk representation there as well.
Fingers crossed. The squad gets announced on Tuesday. I've noticed that Tommy Conway might be injured now as well. So will he look at Calvin as an option? Who knows?
Is Tommy Conway a winger?
Plays in the wing for Middlesbrough. He's kind of brought in for Scotland as a striker, but he did play wide.
You never know.
They put him wide left, I think, against Japan, I think. We'll find out anyway. But yeah, thanks to very much to our sponsors again. Behind the Wall, the Falkirk Football Fans of Training, and of course, sponsoring this episode. Thank you very much to Ryan Marshall, Artmar Architecture, Rumour Architecture. All the details are in the bio. And that is it for the last kind of proper episode of Falkirk Daft. We'll be back next week as we do a season review, looking back at the season as a whole and looking forward to next season as well. There'll be a few things that I think happening this week. I don't know if the releases will come through this week. I don't know.
Potentially,
we'll see. We'll find out what happens. Who knows? We might be talking new signings. If this rumours are to be believed in this Northern Irish boy that's maybe coming in from Glenavon, we'll sign out. But we'll be back for one more. We'll do it one more time and until we get to Albufeira and Falkirk Daft Live 8 from Albufeira. Yes, we'll be back next Monday ahead of that. And by the way, apologies that we didn't get a preview episode out for the Rangers game as well. That was completely my fault because we had the game on Wednesday and then preparing for Falkirk Daft Live as well.
There was a lot going on.
But we will be back next Monday with our season review, hoping to talk about the Dunfermline getting pumped off Celtic in the Scottish Cup as well. That would be wonderful. Come on, the Celtic. I can't believe I'm saying it, but come on, Celtic.
Yeah, on the hoops.
Mona hoops against Dunfermline on Saturday. And we'll see you back here, there and then. And until that time, Ross.
Expect it. We're folk of Duff.
Talking about the Ducks Blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're folk of Duff. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're folk of Duff. For everyone who's caring about being a folk of beer, we're folk of Duff. We are folk of Duff.